Well, amen. Good morning, everyone. I hope you think it's a good morning. It is. You could be in the hospital or in the morgue or in jail. You know, so it's a good morning. Amen. Well, the Lord's good to us no matter what is going on. Do be praying now for these needs. A lot of folks, it's got a lot of problems. These old bodies get in bad shape. Continue to pray for my wife and member Brother Cranfield and Brother Jimmy Morrow. Encourage him a little bit. So, pray for Eddie and Gail. And remember all these folks when you pray. Don't forget them because next week you might need prayer. Turn with me to Genesis. Genesis chapter 32. I'm going to read one verse here and then we're going to back up and see how this man got to this particular place. There's always a reason and a way that whatever situation you wind up in, there's always something behind it. Brings you up to that particular place. Same thing is true here with Jacob. Here in Genesis chapter 32. Verse number 24 says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day." Help me, Lord, today. Bring to my mind, Lord, what needs to be said to help your people. Pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit have free course. Lord, if there's one here that's lost, pray they'll realize that. Trust you before it's eternally too late. Well, thank you, Lord, for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. It says he was left alone. I'm going to try to bring you a message on loneliness. He was left alone. Now, you got to back up quite a bit to see how and why that he's left alone here and what brought this on. If you back up, you see in Jacob's life that Jacob was a slick-tongued feller. He was a supplanter. He was always figuring things out for himself, not really depending too much on God. And he lied to his father and basically stole the blessing that his brother was supposed to get. He's a real neat feller. And he got all that done. And then his brother was going to kill him. And so he cuts out and leaves and goes over to where his mother and all of them is from, that area. He goes over at that place there and that's where he gets his wives. He winds up with four of them. And he meets a feller that's just as crooked as he is, Laban, which turns out to be his father-in-law. And he gets himself in a real jam, but God is still with him during all this. It's amazing, but that's the way the Lord works sometimes. He'll let you mess yourself up, but he'll still stay with you. And so he goes through all his problems. And on his way there, down to this place, he stops at a particular place. He's tired, he's give out, and so he stops at this place, he's going to spend the night, and he makes him a pillow of stones, which I thought was real interesting. He lays his head on a stone. I mean, he must have been something that could sleep like that. But he stays there all night, and that's when he sees that ladder. You've heard of Jacob's ladder. That's when he sees that ladder about the angels descending and ascending on the ladder there. And he wakes up and he looks around and he says, God's in this place and I knew it not. And he realized that God was really there. And so he makes a vow and a promise to God. And he piles up some stones there in a kind of memorial. And he says, if God will be with me and protect me and bring me, you know, back to this place, you know, I'll give God a tenth of all that he gives me and all this to make God that promise. And he goes on then. Winds up down there. We're going to have to cut the story a little bit short, but winds up down there with Laban, and he winds up with them four wives and stays for 20 years. After 20 years then, while God speaks to him, and that place that he spent that night back there, he named it Bethel. And so, after 20 years, then God speaks to him and he tells him, he says, go back to Bethel. He says, return and go back to Bethel. So he starts getting things together and heads back to Bethel with all of his goods, his wives and all his children. And he finds out then that Esau is just down the trail a little ways. And Esau promised to kill him 20 years ago. So he figures, well, he's still mad. So he's going to knock me off short of the world. And he's a warrior. He's a dead-eye shot. And I don't have a chance. And so he schemes up a whole bunch of stuff, sends him a whole bunch of presents and all that stuff, you know. Schemes this up. He finally sends his wife, his favorite wife and son, and he sends them away. And when he sends them away then, that's when this verse comes in. He's left alone. He's there by himself. Everybody else is gone. Nothing's going on except him. He's there by himself. Loneliness is a... It sounds like a terrible word, but we're gonna bring a message on loneliness. In other words, being alone. And he's left alone here, and the angel of the Lord comes up on the scene, and he wrestles with him, and he's the kind of feller, you know, that just don't give up easy. And he grabs a hold of that angel. I mean, he's got a deadlock on him and it won't turn loose. And probably got him, he's shoved down. He's probably got him around by the ankles of his feet and who knows what. And anyway, angel says, turn me loose. It's coming daylight. He says, I'm not turning you loose till you bless me. He's wanting that blessing. He's after blessings. He stole one back yonder, you know, 20 years ago, and he's wanting another blessing. He's wanting a blessing. Now, I don't blame him for that part, do you? I mean, hey, if the angel of the Lord appeared to me, boy, I'd sure hope he was there for a blessing instead of something else. Because them guys, you know, I mean, one of them killed 185,000 at one whack, so, I mean, man wouldn't have much of a chance fighting him. And he wouldn't have much of a chance here, but he's kind of lenient with him. And finally he says, turn me loose. He won't turn him loose. So he reaches down, touches his thigh like that, you know, and hits out a joint. So he hobbles the rest of his life. He drags one foot. And he never gets over that. But anyway, he's still hanging on. He's wanting that blessing. And angel of the Lord blesses him. But before he does, he says this. He says, hey, feller. He said, what's your name? And about that time, all them past memories starts coming back in. And he remembers an old gentleman in a tent over there that said, who art thou, my son? Are you my son Esau? He said, I'm Esau. And he asked him, you know, and he said, the voice is Jacob's. But the body feels like Esau. He'd put a bunch of hired stuff on him. Finally, he asked him again, said, "Art thou really my son, Esau?" He said, "I am." So he remembers that now, how that he lied before. And this angel says, "What's your name?" And one of these days, folks, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, there won't be no more lying. There won't be no more putting on. He'll be right straight down the path, just like it is. And he said, "My name is Jacob." He said, "I'm the guy caused all the trouble. That's me, Jacob." So once that he shells it down, you know, and gets everything right there, then the angel says, "Her name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel." He changes his name here. So once you get right with God, it's like Saul in the Bible there. Once he got right, you know, God turned it to Paul. You know, and there's a lot of lessons in that, but we'll not get into that part. But I want to just deal now mainly with the loneliness here. And when he really got his major blessing was when he was alone with God. Just alone. But first of all, loneliness itself, at one time or another, comes to everybody. There's going to be some time in your life, and probably already has been, where you was just lonely. Now, you may have been standing in a crowd, but you're still lonely. You can be lonely with people all around you. I mean, you just feel like nobody cares. Here I am by myself. I got all these problems. I got this and that going on, and I don't know where to go. I don't know which way to turn. You're just lonely. And it happens to everybody. And if it had happened to you, well, it will. One of these days, somewhere, sometime, you'll just feel, "Man, I'm just lonely. I need something. I need somebody. I need help." You'll be lonely. So loneliness comes to everybody. It affects everyone. The next thing we want to mention about loneliness is that there's a fear of loneliness. There's fear in loneliness. And I will mention first babies. Babies has a fear of loneliness. They don't understand it. They don't know why that they're scared. But they are, if they're alone. Now, not all the time. But they want to feel somebody holding them. They want to feel somebody taking care of them because they're insecure. And they don't know what insecure is, but they're still insecure, you see, as a baby. And no doubt we was all that way. Now, we don't remember it. We don't know nothing about it. But, I mean, a baby wants somebody, you know, holding them and taking care of them, something that they can feel around them. And it's usually mama. Daddy's not much at it, but, I mean, he'll supply if mama ain't happen to be around, but it's usually mama. And babies is insecure. And then young people has a fear of loneliness. I guess the reason that they'd have the fear mainly of loneliness is they fear the knowledge of their own depravity. In other words, they really realize that they're not maybe what they think that they are, and they're not what people think that they are, and they're afraid that what they really are inside is liable to come out. And so they're kind of, they have a fear of that, that it'll come out, you know, and people will really see what they really are. Sometimes you own up into teenage years before you realize that, because you know you got corruption inside of you, but you try to keep it hid. Nowadays they don't as much as they used to. They don't much care now. You know, that's we won't get on that too much. But anyway, there's still a fear there of loneliness, because if that stuff comes out, at least like it used to be when I grew up, if it come out, you know, people's going to turn against you. And that they fear that. And they should. Amen. And then the elderly really has a fear of loneliness. And of course they have a good reason to, because maybe on account of an accident they might fall, hurt themselves, sickness, something might happen to them there to where they don't have somebody to take care of them, and they can't take care of themselves. You get to a place like that, you can't take care of yourself. You got to have help. And so you fear being alone, older people. And every one of us may get there. Amen? I mean, if you live long enough, you may get to the place. And I know some people never had any children. Some good friends, you know. In fact, one of them just died and never had any children, see, so they didn't really have anybody to take care of them, and they got old. Sometimes if you got children, you got somebody to take care of you. But at least you got a hope that maybe you might have if you've got some children. Amen. So there's a fear there of loneliness. Amen. And then there's a curse of loneliness. I guess the curse of loneliness would have to bring it out something like this. We'll use it as preachers or Christians. That is afraid to make the right stand and really stand alone. Afraid to just hold the Bible up and say, I'm a King James Bible believer, and don't care who knows it. Afraid to stand alone by themselves and say, I believe in separation. I believe that a man ought to look like a man, and a woman ought to look like a woman, and a man ought to dress like a man, and a woman ought to dress like a woman, and you ought to cover yourself, and you ought to live right, and you ought to talk right, and you ought to walk right, and I mean preach some separation, and stand for that. But that's the curse of loneliness, because there's not many of them that will do that. I mean, they want the big crowd, and they want the pats on the back. And that is nice, you know. It's nice to get bragged on. And big crowds would be great. I guess the biggest crowds I ever preached to was at Pacific Garden Missions in Chicago. You go up there and preach, and they've always got a big crowd. I mean, it's a bunch of street people and dope heads, you know, that you're preaching to, and winos, you know. But I mean, it's a crowd that's got to sit there and listen to you, or they're not going to get anything to eat and no place to sleep. Amen? I mean, there'd be 300 or 400 of them. The place will be jam-packed. And the auditorium's about twice this size. I mean, just big crowds. But it is a tremendous place to preach. I always enjoyed it. Went up there lots of times. And that's big crowds. But that's not a crowd that come there because they wanted to hear you. Amen. They come there because they wanted something to eat and a place to sleep. Amen. But it was a good crowd to preach to. They had these guys there that stood around the walls and at the back. And if anybody in the crowd started talking or anything, one of them fellas would walk up there and crack him on the head. And he'd straighten up. He knew if he didn't, it was out the door. I mean, now that's the right kind of discipline. Amen. And, I mean, they listen. They sit there and listen. They might not pay no attention to what you're saying, but they at least act like they was listening. And that's big crowds to preach to. And so you like to preach big crowds like that, but you still need to be able to stand. If nobody else will stand with you, you stand for the truth. You stay with the truth. It don't matter if your wife or your husband or your children or your parents or whoever it is or everybody else turns against you, you still stand for the truth. So that's the curse. It's a curse to people because there's so many of them out there. About all the Christian colleges and everything else, you know, they won't take a stand the way that they need to. Amen? And so many preachers won't nowadays. Won't take a stand. I don't mean you have to be hard all the time and, you know, just screaming all the time and stuff like that. Negative all the time, which that pretty well covers me. Negative about all the time, about everything, you know. But anyway, I'm positive about a few things. Positive about heaven's good, and I'm going there. Amen. If you're saved, you're going too. Amen. But you need to stand and not be ashamed. Let people know who you are and what you stand for. And then we want to get a couple of pretty good ones. There's blessings in loneliness. Jacob here really didn't understand God until he was alone with him. If you want to get the understanding of God and the knowledge of yourself, what you are and who you are, you get alone with God. You don't get inspired in a crowd. You get it from being alone with God. You get alone with the Lord. I've talked to different people and read a whole lot of stuff, and most all of them will tell you, a musician, somebody writes songs, somebody does paintings, anybody that does all this, they get their inspirations when they're alone. They get all this when they're just by themselves, just them and God. That's all. I hate to bring this up because I bring it up so much, but that's one reason that I enjoy hunting. I mean, there's negatives against it, but that's one reason that I enjoy it. I can get out there in the woods somewhere, and the further back, the better off I feel. And nobody around. Just me and God. You say, yeah, but you're hunting, and hunting won't... Yeah, but you ain't got nothing to do but sit there and talk to the Lord. You ain't doing nothing. You're just sitting there thinking and praying and meditating. and talk to the Lord. And I enjoy that part. I enjoy just getting alone with God. Amen. And I've told you before, I use that verse in the Bible, watch and pray when I'm there. I watch for deer and I pray for you. Amen. I'm serious about it. That's what I do. And I know that verse don't mean that, but I use it for that. Jesus said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. So I watch and pray. I watch for the deer and I pray for you. And that way I ain't going to enter into temptation, because I'm not going to let my mind wander off on something it shouldn't be on. It's going to be on something it should be on. Amen? And that's what I use it for. So if you want to learn about yourself, the knowledge of yourself and who you really are, you get alone with God. That's a blessing of loneliness. So it's not really loneliness then, is it? Because you're alone with God. But there is a curse of loneliness. What we need to do is we need to just accept what the Lord teaches us. And over here in Hebrews 13, let me read you a couple of verses. It says, let your conversations be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Did you get that? So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So the great thing about that is the Lord will always be with us. Amen. Let me give you another verse before we close here. Over here in Matthew. You find it. Matthew 14, the Bible says this, verse 23, and when he had sent the multitude away, this is Jesus, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. If you want to really get serious and get down to the right kind of praying, now I realize you can pray in a crowd, and you can pray anywhere you're at. We have all the prayer here, and different ones praise, you know, and you can pray out loud. God has no problem hearing all that. But serious prayer, most of the time, is done when you're alone with God. That's the serious prayer that you do. Now, I realize your prayer might always be serious. Amen. I know up north, speaking of praying, I'd go to some of them meetings that they'd have, certain ones, and they'd come in the altar to pray. Of course, I was just used to praying, you know. You just go in the altar and you just pray, just like we always done down here. Well, you come in the altar and the pastor or whoever's moderating or whatever that's doing, they'd say, okay, brother so-and-so, you pray first, and brother so-and-so, you end it. They had a problem with everybody praying at the same time. I talked to some of them about it. I said, what's the problem with this thing? They said, well, when somebody's praying beside them and I'm trying to pray, you know, I hear them and it gets my mind off. So, well, that might be true. But I said, you think God can't hear everybody at once? I mean, while you're praying alone by yourself, there's probably 10,000 more somewhere in the world that's praying too. You think God's having a problem hearing them all? I don't think so. I believe He can hear everybody at once. Amen, don't you? And He can distinguish it all. But still, that being said, your sincere prayer, most of the time, will be when you're alone with God. And you definitely need to be doing that. You need to be alone with God, talking to Him in prayer. Prayer is a great privilege that the Lord left us. And we need to really use it. It always amazes me. I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm always amazed when I really get down to thinking about it seriously, why that a big God like we've got would even listen to somebody like me. And when the Bible says He desires them to worship Him, but He does. He wants us to talk to Him. He desires to hear from us. Ain't that amazing? I mean, that's just about beyond my comprehension why He would want to hear from somebody like me. But I'm sure glad He does. Amen? So, loneliness is sometimes bad, but it's sometimes good. So get alone with God. And the next time you really feel lonely and you feel like things are just falling apart, just go on somewhere by yourself and start talking to God. And that loneliness, it'll change. Amen? Would you bow your heads? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, if there's one here that is having some problems, they'll just take them to You. You will listen and take care of them. And of course, Lord, if there's one here that's unsaved, I pray, Lord, they'll realize that. Come and trust You before it's eternally too late. We'll thank You in Jesus' name for what You do. Amen.